Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Saturday night, November 10th, the temperature is cooling down across the nation as we head into fall and winter, but it's never been hotter in our studio than it is right now, literally and figuratively. I don't know if it's the great guest or the fact that it is hot as a furnace in our station tonight, but I'm sweating either way. What a great show. Keith Alexander, his analysis, his commentary, and then our guests so far, Sam Bushman, Sam Dixon. Anybody named Sam is going to be a great radio, have a great radio presence. And then we heard from Jared Taylor via that clip that he made, the video, and I spoke with Jared and told him we'd be playing that in lieu of having him on the radio because he said it all in 5 minutes. All in all, though, it's been a great show. Have we saved the best for last? George Wallace Jr. is coming up at the top of the next segment, and I talked to him for about a half hour this morning on the phone. What a Southern gentleman. Wow. What history. I mean, his father. I mean, the scope. Listen, I'm not even going to get into it right now. I'm going to get into it in the next segment. But first, I want to read an email. As we often mentioned, we're very blessed to have a large and active audience who take the time to share with us their thoughts and concerns. And even though time constraints on our ends don't always afford us the opportunity to respond to everyone, I personally guarantee everyone listening tonight that all of your mail, snail mail and electronic, all of the mail to this show is read by the intended recipient. I make sure of that. Now, we don't usually post copies of the correspondence we receive to the website, but this particular email that I got this week really highlights why it is we do what we do. Here's what it reads. James, how are you? I became a listener of the show this year by way of Pat Buchanan. I wanted to write in and say that you and your highly knowledgeable and esteemed colleagues on the show, to me, are emerging national leaders and represent the vanguard of the future of American politics and the effort to redeem this country from the horrific path it's currently on, as proven by this week's disastrous election results. Even though I'm someone who resides in the very heart of the beast, California, I download your programs weekly on the archive and listen to them on my iPod while jogging, going for walks, and doing work around the house. Keith Alexander, you and your other co-hosts have encyclopedic knowledge, and I've had countless aha moments while listening. I appreciate how very thoughtfully and carefully you present your material on such taboo subjects. I find it very persuasive and believe that more people would if only they would open their minds to your message. Also want to say that in addition to Ron Paul, I look to you guys as the leading edge of conservative thought. With statements this week from even mainstream pundits like Bill O'Reilly after the election, it's becoming more and more obvious to the public at large that for this country to have any future at all, identity politics must include white identity politics, with or without what's left of the GOP. I believe this movement will be fueled by your radio program. Obviously, the other identity groups voted as a bloc for their own interests and were able to prevail fairly handily. I hope that the challenge of successfully uniting us under some form of identity banner can be overcome, and I look forward to hearing your ideas on that. Thanks again for doing what you do. And I, of course, will withhold the gentleman's name who sent that in. But to know that we're making an impact, a positive impact, in the lives of our listeners makes all of the scars that we have to endure bearable. And I want to thank not just the fellow who sent that in, but everyone who listens to this show and supports this show, God bless you, folks. We couldn't be here without you, without your prayers, without your moral support, without your financial support. There would be no political cesspool. There would be no James Edwards. You know, every bit of good that I've done is a result of the support of the people behind me. To echo what Sam Dixon said, a man is no man, or what to paraphrase the Greeks. I'm only as good as the people behind me. And the same, I'm sure, can be said for this network itself. You know, what Liberty News Radio is doing what Sam Bushman has built with this network, I think is far-reaching. I think it's ahead of its time. And we struggle for funding. We struggle for sponsors, the network, this show. But we're hanging in there because I think we're ahead of our time. And I think that the best may still be ahead of us. And we're going to be there. You know, I've got the fire in my belly to keep going for as long as the support holds out. As long as I have an audience that wants to hear me, I intend to bring this message to you. And I know, you know, we're working hand in hand with Sam Bushman and the network. And God bless him and God bless the network for the support that they've shown us. But anyway, this email, and we receive emails like this and snail mails every week, every day. But I wanted to give you a sneak peek behind the scenes because it means so much. And it truly does, especially times like this, as we're heading into uncharted waters. You know, the re-election of a guy like Obama is not good. But you have a voice in the mainstream media, and this network and this show provides it for you. And we're happy to do our duty. As Robert E. Lee said, you should never, you can never do more. You should never wish to do less. And we're doing our duty. Speaking of the rebels, Ole Miss, the students at Ole Miss protested Obama's reelection by burning Obama-Biden campaign signs in effigy. Apparently, they used some foul language as well. And unlike our opponents, I want to go on the record here, I don't support or advocate the use of crude language or petty lawlessness to make a point, political or otherwise. But what happened at Ole Miss, and there was some fairly substantial media coverage dedicated to it, shows me that there is still a faint pulse within the hearts and minds of some young students. You know, you always, the perception is that all young students are in the Obama tank, but they're not. So there is a pulse there. It just needs to be properly channeled. And white students have every right to be upset over the election of Obama, who, as I said in the last hour, is filled with hatred towards them and their culture. It makes sense that they would protest that. But we got to get them motivated. We got to get them pointed in the right direction. You know, the data, as we mentioned, the polling data was so interesting to dissect. Romney received 89% of his vote from whites, students or otherwise, which again, to belabor the point, was the only group of people to whom he didn't pander. And I guess that strategy just didn't work out. You're going to want to stay tuned to thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. Pat Buchanan's column, Is the GOP Headed for the Boneyard? It's going to be featured tomorrow at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Later in the week, The Road Ahead, a good column coming up. Obama lost in every state with a photo ID law. We're going to run that story. As well as the fact that the military vote, which would have favored Romney, was suppressed. But again, in the end, does it matter? Would we really have been better off with Romney? That's been a talking point tonight. Well, we got to take a break, folks. When we come back,
don't go.
George Wallace Jr., are you ready? I can't wait. Stay tuned.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Folks, we have saved the best for last, the main event for tonight. George Wallace Jr., as we have been mentioning all throughout the show, the son of Alabama Governors George and Lurleen Wallace. He worked in higher education for several years before seeking the office of state treasurer, which he won in 1986. George Wallace Jr. was reelected in 1990, and while serving there, initiated several programs to help small businesses and the family farmer. He also served two terms on the Alabama Public Service Commission, where he worked to protect the consumers and as such was true to his populist roots. What you may not know is that George Wallace Jr. has a love of music. He's had it since he was a child, a love that he tells us was from his mother. And he was signed by MGM Records in Los Angeles in the early 70s as a writer and an artist. He traveled on two tours with his friend Hank Williams Jr. as his opening act. And that experience forged a lifelong friendship. He is the author of the new book, Governor George Wallace, The Man You Never Knew, by the man who knew him best, his son, George Wallace Jr. Wow. Mr. Wallace, it's an honor to have you on my show tonight.
Well, James, thank you. It's an honor to be with you and your listeners tonight. Thank you for having me.
Well, as you know, and as I want to relate to the audience, we had an opportunity, you and I did, to talk for a while this morning on the phone, and I shared with you that your father was, to say the least, certainly a hero of mine, despite the fact that I was born too late to support him, and I regret that. But the names of many state governors won't be remembered by the sands of time. They come and go with regularity. But I believe the name of George Wallace will live forever, and rightly so. And he is certainly remembered very affectionately by the by this radio program and yours truly. Your book, your new book, offers readers a behind-the-scenes look of what life was like inside the walls of the Wallace household during his time as governor and during his Spartan bids for the presidency. You had a front-row seat to one of the most interesting chapters in American history. I mean, and with that being said, where do we possibly start? I guess the question is, what was it like growing up as the son of one of the most iconic governors in American history?
Well, it was very interesting, and he was a fascinating man in so many ways. But his career was one that took off immediately, really, even beyond the borders of Alabama, and he became a national figure very quickly. And so it was very interesting. Our lives went from the tranquility and peaceful existence of rural Barber County in southeast Alabama to one of being in the governor's mansion and family of a very controversial man. So it was very different. I frankly wrote the book. I always have enjoyed writing, and I started writing early in the mornings a few years ago. And the more I wrote about my father and events and so on, the more I realized there was a man in my father many people never knew in so many ways. I know he's defined early on relative to the issue of segregation, which was part of his journey. But I tried to write and chronicle his entire journey, which I've done professionally, politically, and personally. And once I had done that, I realized that I've shed some light on a man many people never knew. But the lives we lived were very interesting because he rose to the highest levels as a candidate and was winning in 1972 as a conservative Democrat when he was shot and taken out of the race. And, in thinking about his journey politically, he has been called by many prominent writers and editorial columnists, George Will, Dave Broder, Paul Greenberg, and Dan Carter, and others, as the grandfather of the modern conservative movement in our country. And that was a source of great pride to my dad, great pride.
And it's as well it should be. And I want to re-impress upon the audience that you were not born after the great experiences that he had in the 60s. You were a young man during his time in the governor's mansions and during his bid for the presidency. And I wanted to take a pause to go ahead and offer this website, georgewallacejr.com. And junior in this case is J.R., georgewallacejr.com. I am going to be very disappointed if I hear from our featured guest that a substantial number of our listeners did not go to the website and purchase the book he has written that chronicles his experiences living as the son of two of Alabama's finest governors. And one thing that has been written about your book, and it's on your website, that this is a study of one of the most controversial, misunderstood, and in many cases misrepresented men in American political history.
Right.
His life's journey was Shakespearean in a modern-day drama that was the life of George Wallace. His life included power, success, pain, and sorrow, suffering, conflict, enlightenment, redemption, reconciliation, love, and forgiveness. This book, the book that you're on to promote tonight, and the book that we're happy to have you on to promote tonight, will take the reader inside to learn about the real man from his family's perspective, the intimate stories never before told, with rare family photographs of personal as well as more public moments in the life of the Wallace family. This book's going to take the reader inside the inner sanctuary of history being made into many. Will remind you of the George Wallace you knew and perhaps the man you didn't know. And, you know, as I said, in going to your website today and reading this in preparation for the interview, just seeing some of the pictures on your website, those personal photographs,
yeah,
elicit a flood of emotion within me, and I wasn't even alive at the time to experience it firsthand. So I can only imagine what it must be like for the men and women who supported your parents. What kind of reaction has your book received, especially from Alabamians?
Well, it's a tremendous response. I speak all the time. I have a pretty heavy schedule, and speaking to all kind of groups, many places in Alabama, libraries and historical societies are having me, and then many invitations of civic clubs, and I speak, and then give a PowerPoint presentation of some of the photographs. We have 333 photographs in the book, James, and I could have had 1,000. So,
right.
And where do you stop? But interesting pictures of my dad and Elvis. Elvis was a great fan and used to call my father all the time. Elvis just loved him, and so many historical photographs that are fascinating. But there is a man I realize that my father, for many, and I'm 61 years old, so yes, your initial mention about that, I was around and saw it all and lived through it. My father was early on defined relative to his position on segregation. And I tell audiences as I speak and during interviews, I said, if you You must keep in mind the era in which he was born. Born in 1919, almost 100 years ago, James. Mm-hmm. And he and many people of the South and other parts of the nation accepted segregation way back then, as they did other norms and customs and traditions in their lives. As wrong as it was accepted without ill will, ill feeling, or malice or hate toward black people. It's just what people accepted.
Right.
They were taught, as my dad related to me over time, he said, son, we were taught that it was in the best interest of both races to be separate. Now, as archaic and antiquated and prehistoric as that sounds today, the point I make to you is that the people of the South did not have hate in their hearts.
That's right.
Now, there are exceptions to that, Jane, but generally when you suggest that they do, as some on elite left would, that's an agenda there. The people of the South do not feel that way and never did. Now, his journey is one, he told me and others, John Kennedy Jr., and others in interviews, when he's asked about segregation, he said, well, as time passed, my conscience told me I was wrong about that. But I was right about telling the people that the federal government wants to control every aspect of our lives from the cradle to the grave.
Mr. Wallace, we have got to take a break. I'm going to come back right after this, the words from our sponsors, and we're going to pick up with the topic of segregation and the role it played in defining your father's political career. And I'm sure you mentioned this in the book as well. We're going to come back with that in mind right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well, or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur, or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, our featured guest tonight, the great George Wallace Jr., author and son of former Alabama governors George and Lurleen Wallace. And before the break, George was talking about his father's stand on segregation and how in many ways it defined his political career. And this is another issue that we briefly touched on this morning when you and I were talking together on the phone. Uh-huh. And I'd like to say, and feel free to disagree with me if you'd like, but in many ways, I've found personally your father's stand in the 60s to be commendable, and this is why. This was a states' rights issue, and as a populist, I feel as though, from an outsider looking in, he was advocating on behalf of the will of the people. The federal government simply didn't have the authority to do what they did in the South at that time, and it can be argued whether or not ultimately their actions were right or wrong, but I believe they overstepped their constitutional bounds. And I shared with you in our talk this morning that I was a guest on CNN a few years back for a full hour, which is very rare, to discuss the topic of self-segregation. And they had me on as part of a panel to discuss this issue, and I was there to present the merits of the case. I guess they couldn't find anybody else to do it. But frankly, even in 2012, day and age in which we live, blacks, whites, Hispanics, etc., we all still self-segregate to a large degree. And I find it to be quite natural that folks choose to associate with others who share a common ancestor, culture, and religion. It doesn't mean that it's wrong if you choose to associate with others who are different. Not at all. But it's a choice that a free people should have. It's not racism, an obtuse hatred of people who are different from you for no reason whatsoever. It's not racism to have a preference. It doesn't mean you hate them. I don't hate anyone, and I know you don't either. It's a taboo subject. We always have to walk a tightrope when discussing it. And I know your father was conflicted by the matter before, during, and after his time in office. But that's my personal take on it. Am I way off base here?
Well, the inextricable link between states' rights and the sovereignty of the states, the Tenth Amendment, if you will, the Reserve Clause, was inextricably linked with the issue at the time, which was segregation. And he felt, and the people of Alabama most felt, that we should determine our own timetable relative to that. But he was raising constitutional questions at the University of Alabama as to who should run that institution, the federal government or the state of Alabama. He, in many ways, and thinking about it, writing about it, he was a leader in the Old South when he believed in segregation, and he believed in it at one time, but as time passed, his conscience told him he was wrong about that. But he was also a leader in the New South when he worked to bring all of our people together and nurture our common humanity. That is the part of my father's life that is completes it, that I'd like people to know more about. But his fight always was with the federal government and what our founders intended in Philadelphia in 1787 in terms of limited government, lower taxes, and less restraints. And we see a government today that is seeking to control every aspect of our lives, as he would say, from the cradle to the grave. The battle that was raging way back then, James, is the same battle that rages today. And he was, in many ways, prophetic about what he was saying way back then, but it was always the race issue that defined George Wallace, but really he transcended it. And in 1972, in those primaries, on the day he was shot, May 15, 1972, in Laurel, Maryland, he was 1 million popular votes ahead of the other candidates in the Democratic primaries and several hundred delegates ahead, and carried every county in the state of Florida and every county in the state of Michigan. So he had truly transcended the issue of race. And he was a national figure, and he was stopped, really the only way he could have been stopped. And I've written extensively about that in the book. There's so much more to his shooting than people will ever really know. And yes, the sovereignty of the states, the sense that we should determine our own destiny, and that battle's raging today.
Well, it absolutely is. And you know, you mentioned, and you just said it, there is a very real chance, and not just a possibility, but a very real probability Your father would have been president of the United States in 1972. And you write about this in the book. And what was it like? I mean, at that point in 72, when that happened,
we knew something was going to happen, James. The momentum, Big Mo, as they call it, big momentum was on our side. You could feel it. You knew there was no way he was going to be stopped going to Miami. He'd have the delegates. He was the only conservative running for president that year. Now think about that. And really, it's interesting that many people have suggested and written that the 72 Wallace Democratic voter became the Reagan voter in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to many people in other states, and they were. I was at the Republican convention in 2000 as a Bush delegate elected from Alabama, and I ran into people from Michigan and other states who said, George, we were delegates for your father in 72 in Miami.
Wow.
And they were in Philadelphia in 2000 as Republican delegates for Bush. You see, so philosophically, we never changed. What we believe, the party, the Democratic Party, that is, changed. We didn't change philosophically what we believed. And matter of fact, before he died, he endorsed Bob Dole when he ran against President Clinton because he saw what had happened to the Democratic Party he'd once belonged to.
Well, it certainly flipped, to say the least. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest right now is George Wallace Jr., author of the new book, Governor George Wallace, The Man You Never Knew, by the man who knew him best. It's available at georgewallacejr.com. That's georgewallacejr.com. I want you to buy the book. I want you to buy it for me. I want you to buy it for the ideas manifested during the governorships of George Wallace and in his presidential campaigns. You mentioned the Dole campaign, during which he endorsed the Republican nominee. Of course, during that campaign, it's a little bit bittersweet for me because he ran against a very good friend of mine, Pat Buchanan, who was also a very good friend of your dad's, as was Elvis, as was very many other people that I think my audience might be interested to know about.
Well, it's really interesting about Elvis, and I want your listeners to know if they order the book, that the book's come to me, and there's a place for instructions on when you order it online on our website, and I'll be delighted to sign it, personalize it if they so desire. But it's very interesting about Elvis. Elvis used to call him all the time. He was a big fan of my dad's. He told him one time that he had a Wallace for President sign on the front lawn of Graceland in 68. But after my father was injured in 72, Elvis would call quite often and offer him his various vacation spots around the world, and he said, George, I'll come pick you up on my jet, and we'll just go wherever you want to go. My dad never declined and was graceful and thanked him, but Elvis was a big fan. And I've written, too, a good bit about my father's faith and his spiritual life and his forgiveness of the man who shot him. I found a couple of letters in our family archives years ago that were not intended for the public domain where my father had written Arthur Brimmer, the man who shot him, left him paralyzed and in pain until the day he died. And he told Arthur Brimmer that he loved him. And he said, Arthur, I've forgiven you, and if you'll ask our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into your heart, you and I'll be together in heaven.
Wow.
That was truly, in many respects, Jane, my father's greatest victory was his faith and spiritual life and greatest lesson he ever taught me.
That's profound. I mean, that is absolutely moving. And I know that some of this can be read at your website. And again, at the risk of sounding repetitious, georgewallacejr.com, where you can learn more about the book, learn more about our guest tonight. And certainly you'll have an opportunity to purchase the title there. And we would encourage you to do so. You know, the history behind your father's career could fill any number of books, and indeed it has, your present title included. The scope of his life is just too broad for us to cover in a couple of segments of commercial talk radio. But I'd like to remind the listeners, and this again was something we talked about this morning in our conversation on the phone, a very good movie, and I have it, is still in my bookcase today, was made about your father's life in 1997, and it was entitled appropriately enough, George Wallace. Gary Sinise was absolutely chilling in his portrayal of your father. In fact, he won an Emmy for the performance. Mayor Winningham played your mother, and Angelina Jolie played your stepmother. What was your overall take on that movie?
Well, I thought it was balanced and fair. They took some license, as they do in making movies, but the ending of it was so profound when he went to Dr. King's church in 1979 unannounced and just told the congregation he'd been wrong about segregation and asked for their forgiveness. And that was a profound moment in the movie. So it chronicled his entire life. And that, it's really interesting, James, after the movie, a national poll was conducted. Some 86% of the people from Maine to Malibu who had seen the movie said they had a completely different view of George Wallace, because all they knew was just about the early 60s and the issue of segregation.
Well, hold on right there, my friend. If I could, I'd like to ask you to stay through this break, because we're right on it, and I want to finish up with you and plug the website again. If you can stay tuned, we're going to be right back right after this.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I got to share this with our guest and everyone listening. I'm getting a lot of emails already coming in as the interview's in progress. And, you know, we're a weekly radio show, so a lot of people, a very large percentage of our audience, catch the show after the fact in the broadcast archives. But I'm already receiving a lot of email as a result of our interview with George Wallace Jr. right now. It's all immensely positive, and I only hope that a fraction of those who are emailing me right now will go to georgewallacejr.com and purchase the book. And right before that last commercial break, I was talking with our featured guest about the movie made about his dad's life, which I have and which I remember watching almost for inspiration in advance of my own campaign for the Tennessee State House of Representatives in 2002. This movie came out in 97. That didn't work out for me, but I did get into radio, so all's well that ends well. The movie, though, Gary Sinise won an Emmy for the performance, for his portrayal of your father. And Gary Sinise, one of the all-time great actors. And he won the Emmy on the very night that your father passed away.
He did. My understanding is that he got the news backstage and actually walked out on stage and just made the announcement that Governor Wallace had passed away. And I heard Gary on an interview in Florida. My wife was down in Bradenton, Palmetto, Sarasota area, and I was down there, and he had made mention that it was the most intriguing part that he'd ever played in his career, and that was a source of great pride to me. But it was directed by John Frankenheimer, who directed The Manchurian Candidate and was an Oscar winner himself, a wonderful director. But it was a fair portrayal of his life and of all the changes he went through personally and so on. But in many ways, he was leading the way in discussing the issues that face our country today, James. We're at a critical time in this country, and in terms of what our founders intended and the skeletal framework that is our Constitution, it's being ignored by many and not being taught to our young people, as it should be, in my judgment.
Well, that's to say the least, and that's something that we here on this radio program and the network in general, Liberty News Radio, talk about quite a bit, the abandonment of the Constitution by both parties. But the fact that Obama has been reelected, not to divert from the focus of the book to general politics, it certainly doesn't bode well for the future. But I've got to ask before we run out of time this evening, did your father happen to get to see that film?
He did see it. He did. He died in 1998, and it came out in 1997. And he thought it was fair portrayal of himself and the times. And I was pleased, as he was, that people around the country were able to know about his entire life and not just a stop or two along his journey.
Right. Well, and Gary Sinise, and I'll let this be the last question about the movie, because it was so profound and striking as far as I'm concerned, and this is coming from certainly, to say the least, a Wallace fan. Did Gary Sinise nail your father's mannerisms? Was he the Wallace of all the, and of course, Sinise, a Hollywood A-lister, to say the least, and you look at his career and his portfolio,
yeah.
Did he sum it up, and did you have any interaction with him or the cast during production?
I did not. I talked to Mayor Winningham, the actress who portrayed my mother, and they had an opening in Washington that I could not make because of a prior engagement, but some friends of mine were there, and I received a note from Gary Sinise that pleased he was to portray my father. But it was an interesting movie, and my father did see it, yes.
Well, that's good to know. And again, the title of the film is George Wallace, and I'm sure you can find it on Amazon or some of these other websites that offer movies. But the main event tonight, as far as we're concerned, is the book written by our featured guest this evening, George Wallace Jr. And the title again is Governor George Wallace, The Man You Never Knew by the Man Who Knew Him Best. And I've already received a couple of emails from folks saying they are promising me they're going to buy the book. I want everyone to buy the book, and I'm going to do it myself.
Well,
before the night's out.
I think they will enjoy it. I think it'll be enlightening. And, you know, the photographs are so good. It could almost be a coffee table book with just the photographs. But it was a labor of love in many ways to go through down memory lane. And I did not intend to write a book, I'll tell you that. But the more I wrote again, the more I realized there was a person here that people did not know. And I also have written extensively about the people of the South. I've always resented how the people of the South, even today, are portrayed by many on the left because there's an agenda at work, James. If they can portray Southerners in such a way as slow and backward and all that, and then you correlate that with the fact that we're generally conservative, then we must be flawed.
Right.
Well, we're not flawed. I'm convinced that the people of the South, in the spirit of the people of the South is going to save the country. I really believe that.
Well, listen, I had a my great-grandfather's grandfather fell at Shiloh. So you know how I feel about that, and I'm very proud of that. In fact, it's one of the I consider it winning the genetic lottery to have come from a son of the South.
Yes.
And I know that your family probably feels the same way. And there's no shame in it. And in fact, everyone, no matter who you are, should be proud of your cultural heritage. And certainly that extends to our people and our friends and our neighbors as well. But listen, Mr. Wallace, it is certainly, again, been my pleasure to host you tonight. I hope that this will be the first of many return engagements for you here on.
Well, I look forward to it. I just got back from Nashville doing some recording with folks up there. I love music, and Hank Williams Jr. and I are good friends and travel with him on two of his tours, so I'm playing a lot of music. But I look forward to visiting with you and your listeners again, James. I sure do.
Well, the door is always open, and we will certainly be in touch. Again, ladies and gentlemen, GeorgeWallaceJr.com. Buy the book. I'm going to do it tonight as soon as the show's over. Mr. Wallace, thank you so much.
Thank you, James.
George Wallace Jr., everybody, his father, man, it doesn't get any bigger. It doesn't get any better. And, you know, we sent him an email this morning, Mr. Wallace, and asked him to come on the show. I received a call back within maybe 15 minutes, and we had a good 30-minute talk. My daughter was watching the Mickey Mouse Club. We were watching it together, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, a little cartoon that comes on Disney Junior. My daughter's 2 years old. We were watching it together when he called, and so she was a little bit upset that I had to interrupt the show to take the call, but we talked for about a half hour. Great show. You know, I don't think his father was wrong with the positions he took on the 60s, but if he had a change of mind on that, that's his own, you know, that's up to him. But I think George Wallace was, if you just look at his portfolio as governor, one of the greatest men, one of the greatest leaders the South has ever seen. And that's our nation, as far as I'm concerned. That's our nation, the South. Well, it's been a long show. It's been a fast show. It's been a great show. You've heard from myself, Keith Alexander, of course, George Wallace Jr., Jared Taylor, Sam Bushman, Sam Dixon. It's been a busy night here in TPC. But at the end of it all, as the first show after Obama's reelection has now almost come and gone, I would like to extend an olive branch to those who voted for Obama. I'm going to play you a song. Even though you are very heavy, your welfare is my concern, you're very heavy, you're not my brother, but in the spirit of goodwill, I will extend to you the olive branch you would never extend to me. And I'm going to offer you this song. And before I do, I will tell you, folks, I'll see you next week here. God bless you. God keep you. Live life the way we do without retreat, surrender, or apology. Next Saturday night, we'll be right back here on Liberty News Radio, same time, same place, for another great show. You never know who our guests are going to be until you tune in. So we'll see you then. But now a song to all the Obama voters tonight from James Edwards.
It does too. Well, who knows where? But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there.
baby. He's my brother.